name of the holy and undivided Trinity, one God. Amen. I sometimes think that it's the case that what we want out of religion is Jesus, and what we get is the Holy Spirit. We want the incarnate God who we can see and touch and hear. We get the odorless, colorless wind that gently blows through the world. We want the teacher who speaks to us face to face, who tells stories and gives commandments, no matter how enigmatic or difficult they may be. We get the Spirit of Truth, who mysteriously guides us into all truth with a still, small voice. We want the healer who will cure us miraculously, the shepherd who will guide us, the politician we can finally trust to follow wherever he leads, and we get instead the wind who blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. We want the flesh and blood certainty of Jesus, and we get the wispy wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I think it's ironic that for all our talk of the incarnation, the incarnate God isn't really the one whom we Christians encounter these last 2,000 years. Our two most holy days are Christmas and Easter, but the God we meet in our spiritual lives isn't the incarnate God of Christmas born into the world in human flesh, nor is it the risen God of Easter, risen from the grave but still embodied in a body that walks through walls but definitively not a ghost. Someone who eats fish and hangs out with the disciples. The God we get to know instead is the God of this long season after Pentecost that begins today, the aptly titled Ordinary Time, when we count the weeks as we trudge through most of the year in ordinary life. The one we get is the unseen Spirit, whom we can sometimes feel in prayer or worship, but never quite grasp or hold on to, because the wind blows where it chooses, and we hear the sound of it, but we do not know where it comes from or where it goes. God's Spirit blows wherever it wishes. And as much as we might like to pin her down, the Holy Spirit is in fact impossible to control or predict, as impossible to predict as the weather, or at least as flighty and changing. This can be an unsatisfying God. Sometimes we crave something a little more substantial. But I want to suggest on this Trinity Sunday that the Holy Spirit, the poor third person of the Trinity, isn't just a lackluster replacement for the second one who comes after Jesus goes. I think it's the case, in a sense, that what we want is that solidity of Jesus, but what we need is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There's a book, I've talked about Alison Gopnik before, who I love, who's a psychologist. She wrote a book called The Gardener and the Carpenter. It's a metaphor for two different ways that we look at learning and growth. Gardening and carpentry, after all, are very different things. The carpenter begins with a product in mind, a chair or a table, or even more specifically, this particular chair, this particular design for a table. And then the carpenter's skill is in elegantly and efficiently cutting down the materials given to produce exactly the thing intended, taking a plan from his own mind and putting it out into the world. The gardener, on the other hand, works with living, growing creatures. She can't force her flowers or vegetables to grow in exactly the way imagined, but she knows that if she provides just the right balance of light and water, just the right amount of protection from bugs and rabbits, just the right kind of soil and nutrients, these plants will grow on their own. They will unfold according to their own inner plan, in a way, in a shape, in a configuration that could never be imagined. So in many different parts of life, we face this question: are we gardeners or are we carpenters? Do we begin any project with a preconceived idea and then try to execute it? Or do we begin with the idea to let it grow on its own if we provide the right environment? Gopnik is writing about raising children, but it applies to all different areas of life. Do we start with a vision of the way we want a child to be as an adult, and then a 5-year plan to get them there? Or do we start with an idea of how to love them and protect them as they grow on their own? When we start a new ministry or plan a special event, do we begin with an idea of the way that it ought to go, and then come up with all the steps we need to do to carry it out? Or do we begin with an idea of the people who need to be involved and let them figure it out, even if our initial vision disappears? In our various professions and vocations, do we start with ideas of where we'd like to be in 5 or 10 years and pursue them? Or do we start with the things that we love about what we're doing now and follow them where they lead? The point is not that gardening is better than carpentry, that we should always do one thing or the other. In fact, the point is that they work with different kinds of materials. A pile of lumber, no matter how well you nurture it and water it and protect it, will never form itself into a chair on its own. Nor can you create a garden and force it into the exact configuration that you want, nor can you help the plants grow exactly the way you want if only you use the right tools. After all, you can't control the wind and the weather any more than you can control the Holy Spirit. So the carpenter is an expert in working with inanimate materials and shaping them according to plan, while the gardener excels in supporting animate things, living things, as they grow into their own being, according to some unknown internal plan. It would be much too cheesy at this point in the sermon to point out that Jesus was a carpenter. I said that we want Jesus and we need the Holy Spirit. We want the hands-on teacher who gives us easy answers and tangible results, but we get the invisible breeze that gently guides us on our way. That's not to say that Jesus is a carpenter in this sense and the Holy Spirit is a gardener. People who are doing their Trinity Sunday heresy bingo can like tick off 4 boxes if I say that to you in this sermon. The point is that God is a gardener and that we are the garden. That, as in that original image, God is a parent and we are children. And it's God's job at a point to step back and allow us to grow, having given us what we need. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, Paul writes, are children of God. We've received a spirit of adoption and become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And this is what it means in our gospel's words from John, to be born again or born from above. It's not a particular political or religious identity of being born again. It's this identity as adopted children of God, growing up into Christ, our big brother. At our baptism, God adopts us as God's own children, and the Holy Spirit guides us over time as we take on that shape of Christ. But the shape of the love of Christ is not like a plan for a particular chair. It's not that the parts of us that don't fit will be cut off. It's more like a garden. It's more like an idea of the love that we're growing into. God plants in us a seed with the stories that Jesus tells and the things that Jesus does on earth. And then God nurtures the billion different ways that we respond in love. The Holy Spirit tends and waters our spirits as we grow. And time and again, by the Holy Spirit, God brings us into Christ's presence in the prayers and sacraments that we share together. The light of Christ in which we find our nourishment. The Holy Spirit doesn't quite walk among us or talk to us face to face in the way that Jesus did. But the Holy Spirit does come to us in other ways. In the reading of Scripture, as the living Word comes alive for us again, in the sacraments and prayer as we encounter God, the Holy Spirit lays out for us innumerable ways in which we can heal the world and serve one another, and gives us the power to carry them out. Like any good parent throughout all of this, God doesn't try to force us into the shape that God wants us to be. God gives us what we need to learn and grow, and a few nudges in the right direction along the way. And in the Holy Spirit, God remains present throughout our lives, but not in the most obvious way, until finally God brings us at the last face to face with the one and eternal glory of the Trinity, still God's children, but fully grown, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So when I sometimes find it frustrating that God doesn't appear more directly in my life, that I don't have a clearer and more obvious face-to-face relationship as I could have 2,000 years ago with Jesus, I try to remember that Joseph may have been a carpenter, but God is not. That the spirit of adoption that bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God is the same flighty spirit that blows where it chooses, and we don't know where it's going or where it's coming from. And that's no mistake. Because God has given us the things that we need to grow up into our full stature, to become joint heirs with Christ, not just in name, but in deed. And God has given us the space that we need in this garden to do it. Amen.